Was like the oh fuck. There's some lady, I can't remember her name. She was on the Titanic, the Lusitania,
Jeez.
and one other ship that sunk, and she survives all three of them. Like
Wow.
you, yeah, you like never go anywhere with that lady ever.
Yeah, no, you think the shipping companies would be like, listen, lady, we just,
Yeah,
nothing
we
personal, but.
like hailing a cab. Like, who are you? No, thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
So she's like, oh, well, I can't sail anymore, so I have to do air travel. Like, you know, I gotta take it on the Hindenburg.
Yeah, what's a, I'm gonna go on this thing called Edinburgh. One survivor. Start recording, so I don't forget. I was talking, like I went into the shop, and I don't buy weekly books that much anymore, just because there's nothing around me, and I've just decided a long time ago to go to like the collections,
Right.
and because I get review samples and all that stuff. That's the only way. That's the only compensation you get as an interviewer for sites anyway. But,
You're not making a pile of money off this?
oh yeah, I'm rolling it. If you can't sell the 56 hours a week I work, but so like when I go there, I'm just like there's not a whole lot I'm in search of. So usually it's indie stuff. So I was trying to find something to support them, but there was some guy
Nice.
there harassing them about where all the Miles Morales comics were. So I guess they were doing fine. So you got those Miles Morales books? Yeah, we got them. Got lots of them.
It's like no, we don't actually stock Spider-Man books. He's kind of a niche
Yeah.
character.
Again, we don't like to make money. What's like if you have a shop and you're not selling magic cards, like what are you doing?
Yeah. Or like, Funko Pops.
Exactly. Although
Which
I the
like
shop that we had in town that went out of business. I mean, they went out for multiple reasons, but because it's a comic book shop. I don't know how much money they make, but they were like big into the magic. Like they had tournaments and stuff all the time there. So anytime I would go there, it was like a bunch of, and I felt like a crotchety old man. It would be a bunch of like 11-year-olds like hogging the counter, looking at like magic cards and shit. I'm like, get the fuck, like get out of here, for
Yeah,
one.
digging through the binders, huh?
Yeah, like, get out of here. That's not like you show me some Pokemon cards, then we'll see what's going on. But type of magic. All right, we'll do. Oh, yeah, you were on when we were doing this dumb intro, so you're
Yeah,
familiar
I mean,
now. So we'll do that
this is what
clip, and we'll get to
my
it.
third time around.
Yep, I think you're. I was gonna mention it. Yeah, you were. I think you're tied for most.
Ooh, all right. Going for the belt.
So I'll have to get another. I guess the new incentive to do more work is just to come back here to get another one.
I mean, really, that's all that's keeping me going these days.
Exactly. It's not a whole lot going on in the world to keep us going. Well, I guess now positive. Start recording. Forget. When in like elementary school, we did like essays on like what we wanted to do when we grew up, and I wanted to be the guy who made the those like transitions they had on the show, where like a
Oh,
sander would
yeah.
go across. I was like,
Yeah,
that
like
was
a
like my
hammer, go
ultimate dream.
hammering across.
Yeah, that was like my ultimate dream. I did like a whole essay on like how I wanted to be
That's
the person who's gonna like,
awesome.
yeah.
I mean, it never hurts to specialize, right?
No, I mean I have a degree in web development, so I could probably do that honestly. I mean,
I mean, I think you should
I
put
could
them
do
in the
like
show.
90s. Yeah, just reboot it. And he's very sellable.
Nice.
How Tim, you good? How you doing?
Just got home. I'm ready.
Nice. All right. Welcome to this episode of George Graves' Mistakes Sends Him to the Funeral Homes. your only podcast for detailed breakdowns of the George Lopez Show, episode by episode. I'm one of your hosts, Kyle, joined by my other Lopez lover, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. It's 55 degrees in San Diego, so it's surprisingly chilly. But yeah, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, and it's like this past like 4 days, it was like 70 in New York, which is like. Again, once it like hits like cold weather, like we had some snow, then I mean I'm always just wearing flannels, but I will like actively wear them like out of the house and stuff, and I refuse to like go backwards. So I was like at work yesterday, like sweating, like just pouring off me. They like take it off. I was like, no, I've already committed to the look. But I got some more bad news for you, Tim. We did it again.
We don't have time.
No, we double booked again. Oddly enough, the same person who we double booked on this last time we tried to do this episode. So we won't be able to talk about the episode where George's poor memory comes back to haunt him with Angie's mother passing away, and George cannot get another grave, so Angie cannot be with her mom for eternity. This is fucking depressing. but one of the short, every one of these is like every. Like, I can't imagine this was just, like, a regular show on TV. They're always, like, really depressing or about drugs or, like, people finding out that their mom had sex with other people and they have, like, secret brothers. But we actually have a really good episode. Returning guests tied for most visits on the show. Talking about a really new book. It is really new. If you're listening to it, it just came out this one day. Really exciting new book. I'm fucking stoked for it. One of my favorite characters and one of my favorite creators, Jed McKay. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy to be here. Happy to talk everything George Lopez. Let's do it. Let's get into it.
Bad news. Oh man. Oh.
You're not talking about my new George Lopez book?
I would love to talk about a new George Lopez book.
Yeah, I seeing, like, got the license.
They probably do, right? I wonder. I don't know if they. I wonder. Disney owns everything at this point. Probably put a George Lopez book.
Because
I was like looking up like I was trying to find pictures of him for like a meme or something I was gonna make, and like outside of the George Lopez show specifically, like. The past couple years, he's been rocking, like, slick back hair with, like, a thick goatee, and he's, like, fucking jacked. Like, oh, like, I could see him being, like, a superhero of some sort. I mean, outside of, he was a super villain in those Spy Kids movies, so, I mean, he's right there.
And, I mean, more importantly, if he's all jacked now, you don't want to, like, you know, piss him off to come fuck around.
Exactly. That's why we're a very positive show about George Lopez. But, yeah, like, it's another thing I'm very positive about is the man himself, Taskmaster, which you're doing the new series of. We're going to be talking about the first issue. Like I said, if you're listening to it, it came out this Wednesday. First question, and I think this is something we hinted on or we talked about when you were on for Black Cat. So one of the variants for this reveals the assassin. Is it, like, a big reveal for you? Like, reveals the assassin going after him?
Here's the thing, like Taskmaster was supposed to come out April 1st in 2019. It was meant to come out, you know, roughly around the time the Black Widow movie came out. So everybody knew that this was a Black Widow. What's the word? Synergy. So I don't think it was a huge surprise, but. When I wrote it, when I write something, I never really know how much information is going to get out there. Like, the same thing with Fury being, like, the secret voice on the phone, you know, and then Taskmaster's like, oh, shit, it's you. I didn't think they were going to put that in the preview, but not just, like, the preview that came out on Friday, but the preview that came out in, like, fucking March or something, you know? And now with Black Widow on the cover, I'm just like, fuck, man, it's hard to keep a secret these days, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal.
Well, and I mean, even the preview, reading it, obviously we have to, like, scroll past the variants, but I didn't even cross my mind. So as I was reading it, and it got to the reveal that it was Black Widow. I was like, oh, fuck, it's Black Widow. And then I went and reread it again. I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. Of course it's Black Widow. But I think you guys do a good job of high. Like, I was like, oh, it's a woman. I was like, who could it be? And, I mean, you do a pretty good job of And I think one of the interesting things for it is how you open it with kind of again, hopefully you've picked it up. It's out. It's amazing. The supposed death. I won't confirm anything. I don't know yet, but supposed death of Maria Hill, which like is pretty big, pretty big death in the Marvel universe. And I really like that. Like it's kind of just implied. Like you see the her. It's like her. Not diploma. It's something with her name on it, and you see the shield and like a bloody hand. I mean, was that important to kind of not, like, you know, tell, don't show for like an opening like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, part of it is when you're hinging a comic plot on a woman's death, it can get really gross really quick. I mean, we all live through identity crisis and stuff like that, you know. So you kind of wanted to be, you know, I hesitate to use the word tasteful, but just something that is not as exploitive as possible. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is actually, I'm kind of surprised that, because I mean, you know, Taskmaster has murdered Maria Hill, or is, you know, framed for the murder of Maria Hill is like the tagline that went out in all the promo. And I don't think anybody's given me shit over killing Maria Hill yet. I was like, man, people must really not like Maria Hill.
Well, and you comment on that in the book. Like, does anyone like Maria Hill? I mean, except for Fury.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, like, it seems like the sentiment. And, like, they always make her. I mean, everything I've read with her post Secret Warriors, like, they've kind of made her, like, the asshole. Which, like, I enjoy her, and maybe it was because, like, Secret Warriors was, like, one of, if not my favorite, like, runs of all time. And so it's weird to see, like, kind of the disinterest in her.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love Secret Warriors. I thought she was great in Invincible Iron Man. I liked Maria Hill. It was...
So much you killed her.
When they came to me with this book, Chris Robinson was like, hey, I've got this Taskmaster book I'm trying to put together. I've got, you know, things, this is how I want it to go. I need someone to actually put the pieces together. So it's like, you know, Maria Hill's dead, Taskmaster's been framed, and I want to have a bunch of spies and shit in there. I'm like, okay, well, I can make that work. Don't get me wrong. I like Maria Hill.
I know we were talking about the death of Maria Hill. Like, I know you mentioned that was kind of pitched to you as part of it originally. So, I mean, is that something when then taking into the series that really kind of drives the story, or is at that point like this is a Taskmaster story from your writing perspective? Like, was the pitch kind of the Maria Hill stuff, or was it like the Taskmaster and we want, you know, Maria's death to be part of that?
I mean, it is 100% a Taskmaster story. The Maria Hill stuff is, you know, it's part of it. It's very much the inciting incident and, you know, the mystery that has to be unraveled. But it's certainly not what you call like a Maria Hill book. You know, it's there to showcase Taskmaster getting up into shenanigans, you know, as is set up by the end of the book, where we're going to be going all over the world and interacting with various dangerous people and the people that they associate with. So it's a murder mystery sort of.
I love that.
A lot of detecting going on as much as there is people getting beat up.
I love that the setup of the first issue is kind of that, like a murder mystery that turns into, or at least alludes to, like a buddy cop adventure with Fury and Taskmaster.
Yeah, because I think like Nick Fury Jr. is one of those characters that I'm kind of starting to wonder if I'm the only person in the world that likes him. Everyone always is kind of like, you know, they're like, oh, Fury, man, fuck that guy. I'm like, man, I like Fury. I think Fury's cool. But
I think especially like kind of very much with Maria Hill and even, I mean, Taskmaster, like it is a character who is, I mean, if you're a writer, that's like a character that's kind of like ripe for taking your interpretation of and running with. I mean, no one is really kind of outside of maybe that Alessa Cott, is it Secret Avengers?
Yeah, Secret Avengers.
was like the only one there people have really kind of explored him outside of it. But he, even that, it was part of a team. So I mean, he's like really kind of, I mean, at that point it would seem interesting, like you could kind of do what you wanted with him. He's like a really rich backstory to explore with him.
Yeah, and he's someone that I think has a lot of potential that a lot of people like to kind of brush him under the rug, given sort of the movie synergistic way he came about. But like, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to be done. Like he's basically the enfant terrible of like super spy stuff at this point. Mm-hmm. Like he was trained by Maria Hill, who was a top spy. Like he's a Fury, which is, you know, another big deal. His mom was a super spy. So like he's basically, this dude has been set up his whole life without knowing it to be like this top super spy guy. Like he's got, and I think there's a lot of interesting work to be done with that. I don't know. I've been pushing to get a Fury series for years, but it's never quite developed. But the thing is with Taskmaster and Fury is that Taskmaster is the first super villain that Fury ever met before he was even Fury, right? Like back in the Battle Scars series. He went to his mom was killed, and he went to go to his mom's house, and Taskmaster was there. And that's like the first inciting incident into his life. So as much as he doesn't like Taskmaster, they do have this like long intertwined history together.
And I think very much kind of like when we talked about when with the Black Mask, not Black Mask, Black Cat books, kind of her again, she has a history that's kind of been, I don't want to say muddled, but like she's had, you know, different kind of incarnations of who she is and kind of what her driving motivations are. Same with Taskmaster. And is there, I mean, what was your approach going into it? Especially kind of, I think, either maybe people's varied idea of him. And then, I mean, at the time I had imagined you, like, the movie was going to come out. So you'd have to imagine, like, there would be that kind of portrayal as well. Did you have like a specific kind of approach you wanted to take with him for this?
The reason I like Taskmaster and why I was like really psyched to take on the job is that he's a character that kind of checks all the boxes of things I like, where like he's an action oriented character, he's like a spy oriented character, but he's also just like sort of a piece of shit and also like, you know, it has a bit of a sass mouth. And that's the interpretation that I really enjoy. Like I put him in Daughters of the Dragon a couple of years ago, because I thought it fit the story, but also I just thought it'd be really fun to write Taskmaster, where again, there you have Taskmaster and Fury meeting, and Taskmaster's like, oh, Fury, wow, it really sucks what happened to Shield, huh? That's a real bummer. I guess you don't have a job anymore, do you? I guess that's real sad. Fury's like, man, go fuck yourself. So yeah, it's just like, again, like one of the characters that he always kind of reminds me of a little bit is Angel from the Rockford Files, who's just this like shitty little ex-con, and he's just always getting into situations that are too big for him, and he's like trying to, you know, weasel his way out. And Taskmaster's not that weaselly, certainly, but again, there's just something about a character, especially in superhero comics, who's allowed to show cowardice that I find really entertaining and a lot of fun to work with. And also, it's not something you get to see a whole lot of, you know?
Yeah, I always took him as, especially because he shows up a lot in Deadpool, I think in Daniel Way's run too. Like, he is like what I would kind of want Deadpool to be. So, like, I mean, there's obviously good runs of Deadpool, like Dugan run and everything recently, but like the kind of over the topness that I think that we get now, whereas Taskmaster is like very grounded in his reality, but at the same time, like you said, he's sarcastic, like piece of shit. Like, what was the Avengers Initiative where he was like one of the teachers during Dark Reign? Was like fantastic, because again, like this dude training a bunch of kids and was kind of an asshole about it. And anytime he kind of shows up with Wade, he's a good foil, I think, because again, he's that similar attitude but more grounded in like, oh, we're gonna like actually die. And he's, and I think that's one interesting thing about this first issue as well, is like there's at least three or four times where you have him like actually showing fear. VD's like a couple like wide-eyed panels are really great, because again, it really, this guy who's, you know, an elite assassin who can, you know, shadow and copy anybody, is like legit afraid a couple times like he's gonna die. I think like one of the characteristics of Taskmaster we've talked about is kind of the humor and the sarcastic nature of him, and at least that's like my Taskmaster when I think of him. And I'll be interested to see what they do with the movie, because at this point they've shown no like personality for that. But for this specific issue, it is extremely funny. I love the golf course scene is great, and it's something you've done really well in Black Cat, especially with her and her team.
Oh, thank you.
Do you feel like at this point, like, because it's really hard to do, and I know we talked about that on Black Cat. Do you think you've got a good handle on that approach to comics, and then being able to kind of sculpt it with specific characters, where I think Felicia's humor is different than kind of what Taskmaster is doing in this issue?
Yeah, but also I feel like there's probably more similarities that to, you know, between Taskmaster and Felicia than you might think. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, not necessarily similar viewpoints, but they're both criminals, but they also don't take it super seriously. But that's, I mean, that said, like Taskmaster is probably the easiest book I've ever written. Like I would bang out a script in like a day or a day and a half. It was, you know, ridiculous. And part of that is just because for some reason, like one reason or another, it just fit really well. Like some scripts you take weeks to work on because it's just not working, or like you have a really hard time getting the mindset or like figuring it out. But with Taskmaster scripts, it's just basically, you know, like the floodgates had opened. So for whatever reason, you know, the way the people talk in that, the dialogue, the action, it just really clicked for me. And I think that, you know, I think the humor is an important part of that character. Like, it's, you know, some people are like, oh, is it going to be like the movie version? I'm like, well, I have no idea. I've never seen the movie, and I know nothing about the character. And that, you know, you can have, there's many great assassins and mercenaries or whatever in the Marvel Universe, but Taskmaster's the one you go to when you want, like, a guy with a dumb skull mask talking shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's at least the better. I mean, I could see, like, you know, when Captain Marvel was coming out, or even with Black Widow, I mean, although she's had, like, the other movies, like, I think most people would maybe go to those characters, but, like, anyone going to Black Widow for Taskmaster might explore the comics, but like Taskmaster is like a comic book character. Oh, I think, yeah. First,
yeah, probably. I mean, you look at that outfit, like, it's fantastic in the comics. I love it, but you try to put that on the screen, it'd be hilarious.
Oh man, I would. Yeah, I know. And that once someone did that, was it the Udon,
right,
armor? Yeah, like, that's the clear, you could see the clear beeline to where that was going with the movie. Oh, I love it. I would love a skull.
Oh, yeah, totally. Don't
fuck it. So is it because, like, it makes, I mean, it's a mat. Like, it makes no, like, sense in the physical world. Like,
no,
how
no,
that works. Like, he's talking.
It's completely comic book. Like, Alexander did a huge job with putting expressions on that skull. And it's like, yeah, it looks awesome and it works so well. But it could not work on anything that was not a comic book.
I was showing it to my wife, because when, you know, she's very excited for the Black Widow movie, mm-hmm. and she was like, "Who's this character?" And I was like, "It's Taskmaster. It's what he looks like." And she's like, "Oh, so it's like a skull guy." I'm like, "No, it's like a mask. It's not. He's not like a skeleton dude." And she's, "How does that work?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's just cool. Like skeleton skeleton heads are the coolest. Yeah. Like, there's no cooler skeleton head like characters. Like, they always are all fucking awesome."
Oh yeah.
Do you feel you have like a, I mean, at this point, kind of the like grounded characters? I know, like, Daughters of the Dragon, Black Cat, this, like, do you feel like that's kind of, I'm not gonna say where you're comfortable, because obviously I would imagine you would be willing to write anybody and anything, but like, writing specific wise, like, I was reading recently the prose you had on your website for a while. I'm trying to remember what it's called. The Chronicles. It's not the Chronicles.
Oh, my old stories over on Cauldron.
Yeah, Cauldron. Yeah, like, oh, those, yeah, are very kind of like grounded, stories in that sense as well. Like, it seems to be kind of a continuation of stuff. Is that like what you like writing specifically? Kind of these like,
oh yeah, totally.
Like on the street heroes and villains and like anti-heroes.
Yeah, like that's. I mean, you're not wrong. That's certainly where I feel most comfortable. And I mean, it may have been something we talked about before. Maybe it was another interview I was talking about. But I tend to be most comfortable with characters that have very limited power sets, because it's a lot easier for me to put them into a spot. You know, when I was writing, for instance, what was it? The Absolute Carnage thing with Weapon H. I'd never written a character that was basically indestructible and, you know, had super strength before. So, like, I'm writing the scene, this bus comes through a wall, and I'm just like, shit, how's he gonna get this one? I'm like, well, no way, he's a Hulk. He'll just fucking grab it, I guess. And I was like, wow, I really gotta turn up the heat to, like, put pressure on this character. Whereas more street-level characters, I feel like you can get away with more relatable threats. Right. And also, I feel like just them being perhaps more relatable as characters in their power level. I mean, the simple answer there is that there's just a lot more room for jokes, I find. But, yeah, like, it's definitely where I feel like I thrive the most. I've had difficulty... Not difficulty, but I found it more challenging writing characters, you know, with greater levels of power, and also ones who aren't assholes.
Well, and I think that's always the. I mean, either I think people either like Superman or they don't. A lot of times, for that reason, my son was he's 7, so his like idea of Superman is very much driven by like cartoons and the few comics he's read, but this week he started reading All-Star Superman, mm-hmm. and he was like little kid blown away by like the idea that there's not like a, like that book's not Superman punching shit. It's like Superman dealing with the like existential dread of dying and what he's going to do with his life. And he was like, what is he fighting? And I'm like, no. And then he likes it, but like, it was, I gave him that and in the Infinity Gauntlet, it was very much two different approaches for him. But I think you can kind of put them in this type of thing where, like, if you're writing a book like Taskmaster, I think that at that point you can have Taskmaster in a story doing things and kind of do it character-driven, with a lot of times with, like, Superman, it's either large threats or it's playing off the fact that he has powers and how do I depower him, almost always. Mm-hmm. Like, where then you're working against yourself a lot of times, I think.
I mean, the thing is, too, like, I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, you know, Superman's boring, he's too powerful. I used to be when I was younger, but then I read a whole pile of, shoot, would have been, I think like around 2000, 2001 or something, I read a whole pile of Superman comics for one reason or another, and I came out, I was like, oh, wow, you know, there's actually a lot of stuff you can do with Superman. And, you know, I think I was like 20 or 21 at the time, so obviously I was really... really invested in that sort of edgelord attitude. But I mean, you know, the most interesting thing about Superman is he's got all these powers, but I think they did it in a video game where basically he can do anything, but the only way to threaten him is that you put him in a situation where he can't save everyone. And that's what I found really interesting about him. And, you know, he's got a great supporting cast and stuff like that, but if your Superman book is just Superman punching people, then obviously it's going to be a bit boring. But you got to find where that, you know, invincible skin can't cover.
Well, I think it will come out after this one. But we were talking to Mark Russell this week as well, and like that was something, the idea that we were talking about is like there are no. There are no, like, low or, like, you know, comics that would inherently fail themselves. Because he writes the, like, was it Tim, the Serial fanfic? The Count Chocula fanfic? Yeah. And, yeah, he got his start, like, kind of, well, people had saw that, and that's how he kind of was getting on books, in also with his writing. But I was talking about how, like, DC, they did the KFC... their event. They did 3 KFC books, like where he met like Green Lantern and the Justice League, and like they're fucking great. Like they're like these really great like satirical like smart books about like what would it actually be like, and like their funny take on that. And I feel like that's always the case. And so like a book like, you know, Black Cat or Taskmaster, again, like they are B, C list characters. I feel like Taskmaster is like an A list villain, but
I mean, number one in my heart, but
yeah. But you could, like, someone could easily take those and, like, especially with Black Cat, I've always been impressed with your approach to her. Is like, it is very much taking it and swerving with her, putting her with other people, making her, like, this different character than this, like, you know, sex pot, like, heist. Like, so, and I always feel like that's like, there is no, and it's obviously with anything, there's no, like, there's no small parts, only small act. But like,
right.
Like you can clearly do something clever with any character, and it's like how you then internalize them and humanize them and reverse that. And I think again with these type of books, like I think you do that extremely well.
Well, thank you. But I mean, and that's always something I'm kind of trying to think of is, I feel like there's so many characters in like the Marvel back catalog to draw from, and I think you got to be able to do something interesting with almost all of them. Like the one that always pops to mind is Tigra. Like nobody seems to know what to do with Tigra, mm-hmm. and like I don't really know if Tigra has much of a fan base, but it just always kind of strikes me like there's a period of time when people really liked Tigra, or maybe like the creators really liked Tigra, and like how would you bring Tigra back? Like what would you do with her? And I think it's just like a really interesting mental exercise for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to be like I think the last time that I really read her was Avengers Academy. They used her a bit, but
she's always like Avengers recently,
right? And again, she's someone where like outside of like there's so many characters, kind of like this Fury or even Black Cat or
totally.
Like Deadpool in itself are just like, you know, they're just back when these people were creating comics, they're just, you know, lifts from each other. Like they're just different characters, like Tigra and Cheetah, and like they're all just like, so at that point it's just like free, like you could do anything you want with them, you can instill any kind of character and motivation within them and use that to their advantage. So it's just interesting kind of see where it is, but also I mean it's still a business, so I imagine they'd rather have 15 Iron Man books versus a Tigra book.
Oh yeah, totally. And
but
I mean,
put her in the armor.
I mean, granted, like you're talking about lifted characters, I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in, you know, the original character that has no other, you know, nothing close, Black Cat.
Yeah, not at all. I just, no clear through line, I don't think.
Yeah.
Character. And you mentioned kind of the power set, and I think that's one of the, I mean, for me, I think very much like Black Cat, it's so weird that you had both these characters. Like, we talked about kind of her powers and it could be an easy cheat always because she has these bad luck powers. Same with Taskmaster. I think you could easily kind of cheat it in the sense. I don't know how many people have really delved into kind of how that works or what the extent is, or, and then you touch on it, like how much you need to see in person, stuff like that. So it's obviously like, it could be a mulligan get out of free card, but I like one kind of your approach to it in this. And then also how you and VD, Alessandro, visualize it. Like just the one moment in this with the Ghost Rider, and you physically see kind of the skull over it, and like oh, he's tapping into like Ghost Rider power now, and like I thought that was clever. But so like I said, if you're listening to this, it's coming out on a Friday, so it is the week that it is in stores, so hopefully, you know, there are safe ways to get books, but you can go in the store. You can get it on Comicology, but it's a really fun first issue from seriously one of the best villains in Marvel Universe and one of my favorite writers. And I'm not saying that because he's been on the show 3 times, but
but that certainly doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't. I know. I looked at it. Raleigh Rossmo is the other, so it's going to be a tough battle. For anyone that wanted to, I know, again, you've been on the show, but, like, if anyone wanted to yell at you for Taskmaster or killing Maria Hill or ask you if you know what Taskmaster is like in the movie, how can they do that?
If you're interested in what I'm doing or what's going on, the best place to find me is twitter.com/JedMckay. That's JedMckay.
And Tim, what do you got going on normally?
Right over at Comics Pit, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Tim Madera. And I just picked up Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and it's super dope. So that's gonna be my life for the next month.
Oh, you got a PS5?
It's on PS4.
Oh, okay. I've been trying to grab five. Every time I put it in my cart on Amazon, it's gone before I check out.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
But we're pages underscore panels. We still don't have an Instagram. I don't know. There's an email, our podcast sucks at gmail.com. And this week, so next week we will have our weirdly fun episode where we interview Dimitri Logothetis, the director of the new Nicolas Cage movie Jiu-Jitsu. So you can listen to that and see how we do interviewing someone that probably has no business talking to us. But we got to see the movie, and we will talk. I think we mentioned, yeah. Well, it's pretty much just us talking about how fucking awesome it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no spoilers. It's fucking great. Definitely, like I said, it's a fucking great issue. If you haven't read Black Cat for any reason, go back and get the two volumes. It's a lot of fucking fun. But thanks so much for joining us again. Hopefully, we'll get that fourth, that crown, the championship belt soon. But again, thanks so much for joining us. Like I said, pick it up. And then next episode, we won't be interrupted again. We'll be able to do some George Lopez talk eventually one of these days.
It's about time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for coming on again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.